Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
Whether on the mountain height or in valley's deepest maze, I place my trust in you, Lord. Lead me in your ways. Perfect anthem for us to get into our topic. Years ago, I was went to the Atlanta Catalyst Leadership Conference. Theme of the conference was tension is good. It's inevitable. You can't eliminate it, so you have to learn to creatively manage it. And all these leadership people from all over the country—it was good. Tim Hart was our youth minister at the time, and we were getting on the terminal shuttle train. And I looked down. There's seats on either side of the train, and there was a big sign as you got on. It said, "Priority should be given to seniors and the disabled." And I looked at Tim and I said, "Look, I could sit if I wanted to." And Tim looked back at me and said, "For which reason?" Oh, ow! Ow! Are you old or are you disabled? And I said, "For both. I'll take it." Funny guy. But as I'm getting older, I sometimes feel more challenged. I know I should be growing in faith, hope, and love, but I find myself struggling. There's a speaker at the Catalyst Conference who mentioned the pre-fight press conference for then world boxing champ Mike Tyson. The challenger said he had been watching the fight films on Tyson and he had a strategy and a plan to bring him down in the sixth round. Mike Tyson thought about it and then told the interviewer, I love this line, he said, "Everybody's got a plan and then they get hit." And I thought, yeah, you know, we have a dream, we have a plan, we have a picture of how life's gonna turn out, then we get hit. There's a crisis. And our plan fades, and we find ourselves fighting for our lives, treading water, just seeking some measure of emotional sanity, trying to believe what we know is true, but it all gets hazy in the midst of difficulties that we face. That's why I love Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. So David is trying to believe in Psalm 13, but he's struggling. Psalm 13 is an interactive psalm. It speaks to an interactive faith, and it's also what is called an individual lament. Individual laments, this dates to about 1000 BC. 38 of the 150 psalms fall into this category. And individual laments have four things in common. They address God, number one, they express some concern or complaint. Number two, they appeal to God for relief. Number three, they address God, number one. They express some concern. They appeal to God for relief. And then they conclude with an expression of trust or faith. So it's very short, but one of my favorites, because I think it really hits to this area, this idea of how we struggle and yet we're able to maintain faith in the midst of it all. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Notice that it begins with four questions. How long? How long? How long? How long? That took me back. That speaks to urgency, unsettled tension. It's now or never, God. And it reminds me of when my mom used to call me to come home for dinner when I was a kid playing. First time she would call, I would disregard it completely. Second time she would call, I heard it, but no action. Third time she would call, her voice was raised, and she would use my first and last name. Kurt Busick, you need to come home for dinner. Fourth time, voice raised, urgency, and the middle name got added. Kurt William Busick. And I knew at that point, this had gone from a mere request to, if you don't come, you won't be sitting down for a week. That's what we have here. There's a urgency with a repetition. How long? How long? How long? And many of us can relate. We're coping with the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or financial issues that seem overwhelming. We have a family member who is hurting, or a long-term sickness, or a chronic illness, and daily pain, and a maze of medication that treats the illness but has side effects that are worse than the relief that the medicine's supposed to bring. And for some of us, our struggle's not physical, it's more emotional. We're overwhelmed with anxiety and fear and just a lack of control over basic areas of our lives, and we feel this debilitating despair, and it's moving into maybe depression. And for a lot of people that are there, you feel like you're moving into this dark tunnel, and you don't know if a light's going to come back on again. Some of you are there now. Some of you have felt that. And you weep, and you cry out, and you say, Lord, I can't take it. I have no more patience. I have no more strength. I need your help right now. I'm desperate. That's what we have in Psalm 13. Now, what is David experiencing? And just one simple thing for you to realize is that David was the anointed king of Israel, and yet Saul, you remember, was envious and jealous of him. You remember the women would cry when they came back from the battle? Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed tens of thousands. And it says that this song greatly displeased Saul, and he looked for ways to eliminate his rival. What I didn't realize is that for 9 years, I thought maybe it was a few months, for 9 years, David is on the run. He is in caves, he's out in the desert, he's running here and there, trying to just maintain his dignity and his sanity. He's the anointed king, and yet he's on the run, and I believe he wrote Psalm 13 in the midst of all this. It shows the inner struggle of a man who is on the run and wondering if God still cares. So David feels forgotten, forsaken, frustrated, and fearful, but he was able to hold on to faith. So the first point here is that David feels forgotten. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Any of you ever felt that way, where you pray and you don't feel that God hears? You feel that God has forgotten you. He feels distant. He feels 1,000 miles away. You pray, but they don't even seem to get above the ceiling. You know, God hiding his face means that David feels that God has removed his presence and his blessing. He doesn't feel God's peace or his protection. In fact, in Psalm 10, David says, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? It'd be the same way that Job felt. Job, you remember the story, the Old Testament story of Job? He's a godly man, and yet Satan comes along and says, hey, that guy says he loves you, but let me at him, and we'll see if he still loves you after I get done. And in a great, great mystery that we can't really understand, God says, okay, you can go after him, just don't kill him. Don't touch his body. And so he loses his family, uses his fortune. And then Satan says, well, okay, that's one thing, but let me go after his body. And then suddenly he has all these bodily, horrible things happen to him in his physical health. And in the midst of it all, Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Amazing. God, you've forgotten me, but I'm still going to have faith. So David feels forgotten. Secondly, David feels forsaken. And this is, how long will you hide your face? To be forgotten is kind of like oops. To be forsaken is to be intentionally forgotten. Okay, Mona tells me to get something from Kroger's, and I get home, and did you get it? No, I don't know. I forgot. Now, if I do it over and over again, then I've forsaken her. You know, haven't done it. David said, not only, God, have you forgotten me, but I feel like this is becoming a pattern. I feel like you've forsaken me. Now, to me, it is comforting to know that King David, a man after God's own heart, felt forsaken. Who else felt forsaken? Jesus. on the cross, he quotes Psalm 22, a messianic psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let me read. By the way, in Jesus' day, you could quote the first verse of a psalm, and they memorized everything. All you had to do was quote the first verse, and people would fill in the rest. Look what it, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it goes on. Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my words and my groaning? My God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer, and I find no rest. Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe who came down to us, and in a mystery we're never going to understand, when Jesus went to the cross and our sin was laid upon him, God who is holy, the Father and the Spirit, turn away from one-third of the Trinity, and for a moment, Jesus felt absolutely isolated and forsaken as he was bearing the punishment for our sin. I cannot explain it, but it is one of the greatest mysteries, because now we can look on Christ and find forgiveness and eternal life. Is that not good news? Amen. That is good news. He was forsaken for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become holy and whole. And Hebrews remind us that we pray to a God who understands our every struggle, and now we can approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. That, my friends, is good news. And Hebrews goes on, God says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I love that. So David felt forgotten. He was sad, felt forsaken. He was hurt. And then he felt frustrated. Okay, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Frustration sets in when you feel forgotten and forsaken over time. Frustration sets in when you feel forgotten and that doesn't go away. You feel forsaken and that doesn't go away. And then you get frustrated. And a lot of you have maybe are feeling that way. He's struggling, I think, probably with a chronic life-threatening illness. He says, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. He says, God, if you don't act, I'm going to die. In other words, there's something going on in my life that affects me physically, and God, I'm praying for you to heal me. He says, give light to my eyes. I love, he says, look, turn your face toward me, answer. How long will this last? Give light, restore my health, heal my body. My future is uncertain. I'm in pain. What am I to do, God? And David feels frustration. Every night, I'm told that we dream. It's just a matter of whether or not we remember it. Well, I remembered a dream this week. I was talking to someone about the surgery that they were going to have. And so in my dream, I'm on the operating table. And that very surgery is happening to me. It's a complicated surgery. And in my dream, you know, they have all of the surgical cloths over you, and the nurses are on either side, the doctor's in the middle, but I'm fully aware of what's going on, and my head is propped up, and I'm watching, and the nurses, you know, the nurses suddenly, their body language and their facial expressions, you can see the concern. Okay, something's not right. And this is my body, my surgery, so I'm thinking this is not good. The doctor, you can tell that something's wrong because he becomes increasingly agitated. Finally, he throws his hands up and he walks away. He walks away. And I'm on the table. And I'm thinking, well, that's not going to be the last word on this. And so suddenly in my dream, as dreams go, I'm off the surgical thing, and I'm chasing him down the hall. He's going down the hallway, and I'm like, hold it. Hold on here. I said, something happened back there, and I need to know a little more about it. And the doctor looked back at me, and he said, I severed the connection to your liver, and there's nothing we can do about it. And he walks off. And I'm like, you cannot sever me to my liver and just walk away. And he walked away, and I'm sitting there, you know, still with the surgical, with the hospital gown on. And I'm telling this to Mona. And her one comment was, she says, oh, she said, you're frustrated with me or somebody. She said, that is a dream of frustration. And then I did realize that the day before I was talking to the new people that are our new phone provider, and I had a really, really angry conversation with customer service. So there was some frustration in my world. But isn't it interesting how your mind will take this, maybe the frustration I was feeling, and it put it all in the context of me kind of tracking down a doctor and saying, "Oh, you gotta fix this. You cannot walk away." And by the way, Dr. Hannah, I am not trashing physicians. I think you guys are great. I'm not saying, and Dad, if you're listening at home, I love you're a doctor, and you did a great job all those years. Well, finally, David feels fear. He says, "How long will my enemy triumph? My foes, how long will my look on me and answer, O Lord my God? My foes will rejoice when I fall." In other words, when your enemies are in charge, your world is out of control, because they'll look for ways to undermine you, to ridicule, to put you down. Your enemy may not be a person. It could be a sickness or a problem. But I notice most of my big fears come from when I'm out of control, I'm not controlling something, and I feel that my problems are pursuing me, and I can't help. I can't stop it. Mona and I were walking our dog, and I think I put a picture. This is Moose. This is Moose and Marley. Moose is a three-year-old boxer, and Marley is less than a year. She looks playful, doesn't she? She's a demon. And then I got one other one there. Mona will take this one down quick. Are you even going to put it up? Yeah. Now Marley gets more attention than me around the house, but gets held like that. We were walking him, and we were down by the water board, and I get that now. And this retractable leash, it went around a pole, and so Marley's going around it, and leashes around it, and Mona realized immediately that it was going to be like this thing where it would twist and like hang her. So Mona releases this, and Marley goes on around, and this thing whips around the pole, and then it lands on the asphalt with a thud. Marley just takes off, I mean, running as fast as her little puppy legs can go. This thing hits on the, and then, so she's got this all the way out, and this, like a red mutant groundhog, is following her with a bright green tail, and it's going. She ran about a city block, and every time she looked back, she saw this coming right behind her, and I kid you, I mean, we watched her. I'm thinking, at some point, she's got to stop running. And finally, she just pulled off to the green grass on the side. I had to run. I ran to get her, and I got to her and said, "Gonna be okay. Just hang." And she's huffing, and she's puffing, and it occurred to me that sometimes those things we fear are attached to us. They're like baggage. And the faster we go, the faster they go. And we just need someone to come alongside and to love us. David felt forgotten, he felt forsaken, he felt frustrated, he felt fearful. By the way, if you want to understand the politics of the last 8 years, you can. I could do a whole sermon on how people who feel forgotten, forsaken, frustrated, and fearful have become a voting block. And much of our politics can be explained right there, right there. It explains our politics. It also explains our mental state. We feel forgotten. We feel forsaken. We feel frustrated. We feel fearful. And there's no easy answers. So a question that I would just present to you, and Rick Warren does a great job with this, is why does God allow us to go through so many problems? If we say yes to Jesus, why doesn't life get easier? Why doesn't he take away the struggles? And I love, Warren always says it so well. He says, the reason is this. God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And God is more interested in making your life holy than he is in making you happy. Our problems draw us to the end of ourselves. We hit bottom to where there's no place to look but up. You realize that some of us won't look up, some of us won't call out to God until life is so hard that there's no other place to look? And so when I see someone that's really careening down a pathway with all these horrible problems and the crisis are multiplying, on one level my heart sinks. On another level, I know we're close to a breakthrough. Because now they'll listen. Now you can pray. And when things are going good, a lot of times that doesn't happen. C.S. Lewis says, God is like a parent who is teaching a toddler how to walk. And what does a parent do? The parent will allow the toddler to go, and then the parent pulls the arm back, and the child toddles and falls. And when the toddler falls, doesn't realize it, but the parent is right there, hovering over them. And so we desire our children to walk, and we help them so far, and then we pull back, and then we let problems and pain kick in, and then, you know, we try to help, but we allow that in order for them to grow. Well, we have a choice in this life. We can hold on to faith or give in to for futility. And David prays. It's interesting how this, I love how this ends. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. No matter how low David felt, no matter how much pain he experienced, no matter how fearful he was or paranoid he felt, David said, God, I know your love is unfailing. I rejoice because you've saved my soul. And I love it. He says, I will sing, for you have been good to me. Can you do that today? Can you sing? Even as difficult as things are right now, can you still say, God is good? And he has saved me. And I love him. It is good to be together. And one thought I have here, and the Mike's story and the offertory video was, you know, I was diagnosed bipolar, and I tended to isolate myself from others. He said, but then I came back into the church, and it was there that people listened to me, and I found support and help. And so you may not realize it, but as people struggle with problems, and right now everybody you know and you yourself are overwhelmed with problems, when we come here, our problems kind of get spread out over the congregation. And we love one another and we support one another. You know, half of Americans right now say they feel lonely and they're not sure what to do about it. Half of Americans, you know, and a lot of them aren't connected to any kind of a social group. They're disconnected from family. And so I'll remind you guys every Sunday that by being here and by being online and being part of this church, you are involved in a healing process because you are making yourselves available to others who don't even know if they want to live another day. And you'll never know because you'll never know how bad it is, but you are helping them to get better. I want to show you a quote by Corey Ten Boom. Look within and be depressed. Look without around you and be distressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest. Look within and be depressed. I know there's darkness inside me. Look without. The world's going crazy. I'm distressed. But look at Jesus and be at rest. I want to give you one more image and then close with a short video. Mona was FaceTiming with our granddaughter, Olivia. There's a little Livy. Little Livy Lou Who. It's not even two. And she is she's got a word book. And in this word book, it is simply pictures of common everyday items. There's a tree, there's a cow, there's a sun, there's a table. And so 100 words, and at a year and a half, she like is saying all of them. I mean, she knows all the words, but our daughter has this thing that she does. When they turn a page, Stephanie would say, oh, wow. And now, whenever they turn a page, little Libby says, oh, wow, there's the sun. Oh, wow, there's a bread. And I thought to myself, is that not a good image for worship? We come together and we say, oh, wow, God, my problems are amazing, but you're bigger. Oh, wow, you're faithful. Oh, wow, you're good because you're with me. Watch this, and then we'll sing our prayer.
everywhere you look, everywhere you go, every moment of every day, from the rise of the dawn to the setting of the sun, from the first cup of coffee to the last bedtime story, at work, in school, among friends, and with your family, during trials and storms, triumphs and victories, on your worst day and in your finest moment, He is near. For our God dwells with us and abides in us. His presence surrounds us, and His Spirit is inescapable. He loves us with an unimaginable affection and cares for us with an unfathomable passion. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, God is near.
Amen. Instead of praying, we're going to sing the prayer. Let's try this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Father, we want to confirm with David that sometimes we feel forgotten. Often we feel forsaken. Father, we're frustrated. It's been going on too long, and that's causing us to be fearful as well. Father, help us. Help us not to give in to the futility and the nihilism of this world that says that there is no God. It's all about us. And help us to call out to you and have faith, like David, who was able to say, life is hard, but God, my God, is good. And so I'll sing praises to him. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.